A scanning device most commonly seen in hospitals is reshaping the science of paleontology. It allows researchers to peer inside irreplaceable fossils without damaging them. They are seeing things in these chunks of stone they've never seen before. Hearts, brains, embryos. Paleontologist Timothy Rowe is one of the scientists driving this revolution. For the last 6 years, he's run a full-time fossil scanning lab at the University of Texas at Austin. NPR's John Nielsen reports on the emerging science of paleoradiology.
Timothy Rowe is a paleontologist with a twist. When he's not digging fossils out of the ground somewhere, he's creating stunningly accurate three-dimensional computer images of the petrified organs and tissues inside them. Fossils used to give these kinds of secrets up on an infrequent basis, and only then if they were destroyed in the process. Diamond-tipped grinding machines took thin slices off of fossil bones and teeth so that scientists could put them under microscopes. But Rowe doesn't do it that way. He cuts fossils into digital slices by running them through a supercharged, computed tomography device that resembles a medical CAT scanner.
We can get somewhere on the order of 400 slices through the head of a pin, okay? They make some very precise grinding machines, but in 6 hours, we can scan an entire specimen. It's faster and much more efficient. And then it's digital. Once the image is digital, we can measure it. We can do things that you can't do with your analog slice.
There are other places to go to get your fossils scanned, but this is the place that sets the standard. Since 1997, Rowe's team has scanned about 150 rare and important items, including a Martian meteorite and the skull of a feathered dinosaur known as Archaeopteryx. The fossil to be scanned today sits inside a film canister in the pocket of Lojo Shi, a paleontologist at the Carnegie Museum of Natural History in Pittsburgh. He opens the canister very carefully and hands a tiny white chip of stone to Rowe.
How about that? How about that? It's incredible.
It looks like an arrowhead until you see the line of teeth. Lowe says we are looking at the fossilized skull of a 190 million-year-old mammal.
What's important about this fossil is it has a huge brain for the mammals of its age, 190 to 195 million years old. It's living proof that you don't have to be a physical giant like Tyrannosaurus rex in order to be meaningful for us.
Lowe studies brain evolution. He suspects that the brain inside this skull is a missing link between the small brains of reptiles and the larger brains of mammals. He's dying to see it.
That's the thrill of my life. And I do not want anyone to do any damage to it, yet I'm desperate to figure out its internal structures.
Lowe could be wrong about the brain inside this skull. It could be smaller than he thinks it is. The fossil could be fake. Rowe thinks he can help this man.
It's one of the smallest fossils that we've had in here, one of the smallest vertebrate specimens, but we've scanned smaller things. And so I have no idea what to expect. I surely hope that we don't have good news and bad news for him.
Now, do you want to have this thing on end, coronal sections for our skins like we usually do?
Or? Yeah.
Rowe gives the fossil to lab manager Rich Ketchum, who mounts it on a piece of foam. Then he slides it through a small door in the side of a 30,000-pound lead box that surrounds the scanner. The lead box is big enough to hold a car, and it's got Elvis Presley refrigerator magnets on the front of it.
It's not named Elvis. Elvis is merely our patron saint.
Fingering the radiation hanging around his neck, Ketchum says this CT scan is much more powerful than its medical cousin. It blasts fossils with lethal amounts of radiation for hours at a time.
CAT scanning was invented for medicine back in the late 60s and the early 70s. After being developed for medicine, the industrial folks figured that there are some things that they want to do too. The problem with medical CAT scanners is they are specifically engineered not to kill anybody. And that's something you don't have to worry about when you're doing inanimate objects like fossils and things like that. So as a result of that, we can use higher energy X-rays and we can image for a much longer time because not only do we have to not worry about killing them, but we also don't have to worry about them moving around or have beating hearts and breathing and all sorts of inconvenient things like this.
Ketchum says paleontologists began experimenting with CAT scans many years ago, but they've been slow to embrace the new technology.
Some of the older paleontologists are sort of worried about whether their prized specimen is going to be a pile of dust in 5 years because we did this thing to them. And is even here, we're using high-energy X-rays, but we're not damaging anything. There's no evidence that there's any damage to anything that comes from it.
Ketchum closes the scanner door and keys a command into the computer. Paleontologist Lo Jo Shi will now have to wait several agonizing hours. Ro says he doesn't think the skull inside is fake, but stranger things have happened.
We've had one instance where a researcher brought us a beautiful specimen, and on Wednesday we scanned it, and then on Friday he came back and we just said, have a seat, we have good news and bad news. And the good news is the scans were really great. They show a lot of stuff inside. And the bad news is that it shows that the specimen is a forgery.
Rowe says fakes should be expected in a world where fossils sometimes sell for millions of dollars. All the same, they turn his stomach. 2 years ago, one of Rowe's scans invalidated a so-called missing link fossil he himself had just helped unveil at a press conference on the steps of the National Geographic Society in Washington. The memory of that fiasco still eats at him.
You know, we always hate to feel naive, and it ate 2 years of my life up. And before I started this, my hair was red, and it's not any longer, and there's a lot less of it.
Rowe has found 3 fakes in the last 6 years, but that's not why he does this job. He does the job because CAT scans like this one are refocusing a science that has long been ruled by the hunt for fossils that look good in museums. He invites Lo and me to take a walk with him while we wait for the scanner to finish the job. The walk takes us to the center of the university's Natural History Museum, where a bunch of school kids are staring up at the fossilized bones of a giant flying dinosaur.
Quetzalcoatlus, it's the world's largest flying creature. It's an extinct pterosaur from just before the end of the Cretaceous, just before the end of the Great Extinction.
Rowe says giant bones like those help draw him into this field. But they're not what keeps him here.
When I was growing up as a student, I was very concerned that I was about to set foot on something that was doomed from the start. And then the digital age emerged, and we were able to apply it to some of these fossils. And so it's revitalized a field that's 300 years old, one of the great classic fields.
When we get back to the lab, Lowe's results are in.
All right.
While everybody else watches, the paleontologist from Pittsburgh sits down at a computer and calls images of the tiny fossil brain up onto the screen in front of him. He enters a state of scientific bliss.
Well, I see a beauty. I see a beauty from 190 million years ago.
Rowe says this brain is even bigger than he thought it would be.
We have no clue. We have no clue.
And by studying these images, he hopes to find out more about why the first mammals started to develop bigger brains. That could help him understand where our brains came from. John Nielsen, NPR News, Austin, Texas.
Pictures of what's been found inside fossils are at npr.org.